M-Copper to inject over $10 million to boost uptake of electric motorcycles. From over 1,400 cities and 140 countries, we bring you the Good Morning Africa podcast. Good morning, Africa, and welcome aboard your pulse on everything business in Africa. I am Ritha Dong. For more, follow us on Twitter at The Care Financial News, and you can find me at Ritha Dong. Your top story is sponsored by BK Capital, a leading investment bank and fund manager in Rwanda. iExperience advisors specialize in bonds and shares and can help you unlock the untapped potential of your franc investments. To learn more about the world of investment opportunities, visit our website at www.bkcapital.rw for an in-depth exploration. In this episode, we host Professor Pamela Mbabazi, the Executive Chair, National Planning Authority, Uganda. Uganda is currently working on its fourth national development plan. We asked the professor what steps need to be taken at the planning phase to align with the opportunities under the Africa Continental Free Trade Area.
Anything to do with production has to first start with the market. And the fact that we are having this amazing continental market is an amazing opportunity for this country. Given the many labels we've been named as the basket of Africa, the having all these resources we have, I think for me this is an opportunity to really exploit. We have the African Continental Free Trade Area that provides a humongous opportunity for us because we can practically sell anything we produce in this country. But we must make sure that we produce quality. And therefore, and I did articulate some of these elements that we are working on right from research. We are, as a country, identifying those key commodities in which we have a comparative advantage. What is it that Uganda can produce comparatively better and position ourselves to really supply that commodity, not just in the region, but on the continent? We have identified critical value chains. So one thing is to really focus on key critical value chains, but go into understanding the different components of the value chain. I'll give you an example of coffee. Right from understanding which soil and area in Uganda is best poised produce coffee, making sure that we work with research institutions to get the best variety of coffee that can be produced, and ensure that farmers get access to this quality parent seed and make sure that they improve the productivity of their. Moving on to the next phase in ensuring that the farmers really provide the right fertilizer, harvest the coffee correctly, dry it coffee and sell it in the right way. But one particular aspect in terms of marketing this coffee is that we are moving beyond selling just the coffee bean, but the value added in coffee. And you've seen His Excellency really urging us all as a country to ensure that we move into value addition. So value addition is what is going to enable us capture the market, because we will be able to sell Ugandan authentic quality coffee anywhere on the continent if we add value to it. And this goes for the other commodities as well. So ensuring we do research, produce effectively, and aggregate and add value. But there are many other interventions that we're working on to ensure that these value chains are smooth. Organizing farmers, improving extension, providing affordable credit to farmers, ensuring these farmers against the risks in agriculture, promoting mechanization, promoting irrigation. So quite a number of interventions to promote productivity, to ensure that we engage in agribusiness, but also value addition, but that we market and ensure that we get the right deals. And if we follow through in having efficient value chains, I have no doubt that Uganda will be the real trade bread basket for not just East Africa, but the entire continent. But we need to work together. We all need to move, including the media. You need to project that image that Uganda is really on a move with our NDP4 and these kinds of conversations in ensuring that we get to where we want to go.
And a quick look at the markets. The market segment is powered by the Development Bank of Rwanda. We empower you. The Johannesburg Stock Exchange or Share Index was up for fourth consecutive session, trading above the 74,000 level, tracking most of its global peers. Investors were focused on the earnings season and key economic data from major economies set to be released during the week, including the US PCE and GDP figures alongside PMI surveys. On the domestic economic front, South Africa's leading indicator rose by 1.7% over a month in February. This is according to central bank data. Among single stocks, Capitec was a top advancer with gains of over 7% after the bank reported strong results for its financial year through February of 2024. Heavyweight Tech, Naspers and Prospers followed suit, up 5.2% and 4.6% respectively due to their stakes in Tencent. After announcing the release of its highly anticipated Dungeon and Fighter mobile game on May 21st, following 7 years of development, the shares of the Chinese tech giant surged by 4.5%. Conversely, resource-linked sectors underperformed. And a quick trip around Africa. M-Copper will inject over $10 million in its East African operations to boost the uptake of electric motorcycles. The investment follows a new partnership with ride-hailing company Bolt, which will see the rollout of over 5,000 electric bikes in the next 3 years. Through this partnership, new and existing drivers will have the opportunity to lease Roam and Ampstand electric motorbikes at a discounted price in a bid to spur e-bike uptake. According to M-Copa, the move broadens its reach and supports more customers in transitioning to sustainable transport solutions. Through this collaboration, Bolt will leverage M-Copa's fintech platform to make electric motorbike ownership affordable by substantially reducing the expense associated with electric motorbikes for drivers. The approach is expected to lead to approximately 40% savings in total ownership costs compared to petrol motorbikes. The world's electric car fleet continues to grow strongly, with 2024 sales set to reach 17 million. Despite near-term challenges in some markets, based on today's policy settings, almost one in three cars on the roads in China by 2030 is said to be electric, and almost one in five in both the US and the EU. The new addition to the International Energy Agency's annual Global EV Outlook report says more than one in five cars sold worldwide this year is expected to be electric. It says the surge in demand projected over the next decade is set to remake the global auto industry and significantly reduce oil consumption for road transport. The latest outlook published today finds the global electric car sales are set to remain robust in 2024, reaching almost 17 million by the end of the year. In the first quarter, sales grew by 25% compared with the same period in 2023, similar to the growth rate seen in the same period a year earlier, but from a larger base. The number of electric cars sold globally in the first 3 months of this year is roughly equivalent to the number sold in all of 2020. In 2024, electric car sales in China are projected to leap to more than 10 million, accounting for about 45% of all the car sales in the country. This growth builds on record-breaking 2023. Last year, global electric car sales soared by 35%, almost 14 million. During the past weeks, there has been speculation that there has been a stagnation or a reverse in electric car sales globally. However, the IEA report paints a different picture. South Africa is seeking potential minority investors access to capital markets and loan financing for the South African Airways for more rapid expansion following the collapse of a previous equity deal. The airline had to revise its expansion plans after talks were scrapped and has now delayed opening more international routes to London, Frankfurt and North America. The South African government had planned to dispose of 51% of the South African Airlines Airway to Takatso Group, made up of closely held Global Airways and private equity firm Harith General Partners, before the deal was called off last month. The transaction would have resulted in a 3 billion rand cash injection for the airline, which had previously emerged from lengthy bankruptcy proceedings following years of state bailouts. SSA will grow its fleet within the next financial year from 13 to 21 aircraft. The airline has added many routes into Africa, as well as some international routes to Sao Paulo and Perth, Australia. Thank you for always waking up with us. Good Morning Africa is a product of the K Financial. If you have suggestions or you just want to check out more stories, visit the website. That's thekfinancial.com. And don't forget to subscribe. You can also find us on all social media platforms at the K Financial. And you can find me at With Dawn.